AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hello.
Hi, Sean.
Hey, Sean.
Oh, you guys, I was going to say, welcome back in to the Fireside FPL pod, where we bring you fantasy stats and football chats.
What are we bringing today or right now?
Football chats.
Yes, we are.
And this is the foot. Fair enough. The FPL piece is the football stats. And the pod is the football
chats.
Love that.
That was awesome.
Dave's shaking
his
head.
My mind is blown.
See, he's the brain.
Yeah.
I'm the heart and you're the mix.
I'm the mix. So I'm kind of smart and I'm kind of good-hearted, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. So today's topic.
Hey, I'm calling VAR on that comment.
Oh, man, what a setup. Last week, we debated top five players as a group. We picked our top five.
Can I say one thing?
Absolutely.
Two things, actually. One, I matured.
Nope, just one.
I matured a lot through that episode. Two, for you listeners out there, I am trying to figure out how far I should be from the mic, so I do apologize from some loud loud outbursts, quietness. Be patient with me.
So you got too close there. You choked. You can't get
too
close.
Be patient with me. Not everyone can sound as good as Dave.
Yeah. We're trying to figure it out. Our voices get very loud and very soft, Phil and I, so we're trying to figure that out.
But it's because we love you and we care for you.
Also, if you are very interested in that top five player ever conversation, it was a fun one for us. Go back and listen to that on our YouTube channel, Fireside FPL, or you can go listen to us anywhere you listen to podcasts, so Spotify, iTunes, iHeart, wherever. Go listen to that as well. It was our episode last week, and if you're someone who plays Fantasy Premier League, please go listen to our last episode, which was our look back at Week 8, look forward to Week 9. It was a good one. So
it was.
I thought it was. Yeah. We got
just know if content. You listen to the top five players of all time, Phil made a top six. It's not a big deal.
It's not a big deal.
It's six players.
Phil also went through an absolute emotional change in that episode. So you'll really see him at the start and just listen to him at the end. What a change.
I also listened to it on a drive up to DC, and whenever I did the top six, because I was like, my third player is between two players and one of them's not actually my top five, I realized how idiotic that was.
No, I loved it.
I thought it was
fun. I'm just bringing a twist to our fantasy chats.
Love that.
Crap. Football chats.
It's all right, Phil.
Our slogan's so hard.
Our slogan's good. We're going to get it right. It's going to be great. All right, so.
Yeah.
Today, topic of conversation, pretty open, VAR. That's pretty much it. Love it. Hate it. Pros, cons. I think, you know, the aisle's probably fairly split on this one, and really I don't know if there's a consensus answer. But we're just going to talk about it and get each other's opinions and hopefully give you something that you like to listen to. So, who wants to start us off? The only thing I want to say is, you know what? I take it back. I'm going to start us off because I just want to give a quick briefing on what it is.
Oh,
just so people.
I would also like to know what it is because sometimes I get confused watching.
Not what it is. Yeah, fair enough. Not what it is, but what it is meant for. Because even when I'm watching, I'm like, okay, well, what the heck is VAR for and what's it not for? So it was introduced early 2010s. I think in the EPL, what was it? 5 years ago it was introduced, I think. Don't quote me on that, but I think it was around 5 years ago the EPL started using it.
2018 World Cup.
Well, again, it was introduced, so. In terms of, you know, leagues, it's...
No, that's I'm thinking. But it can go as far back as 2018.
I think it was... wasn't it the year that COVID happened?
Can you look it up, Phil, for us?
I think it was that, like, that'd be the 2019-2020 season?
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, Phil's gonna look that up real quick.
2018-2019, Dave's our brain.
All right, perfect. 2018-2019, that was kind of the first time we saw it in real action. I just want to let people know, so VAR, what it helps the referees in four scenarios. goals and offenses leading up to a goal, penalty decisions and offenses leading up to a penalty decision, direct red card incidents, and mistaken identity. So as a basis, that is the point of VAR. Just so we're all aware, you may see things happen on the on a regular basis, and you're like, what the heck are they doing? Those are the four scenarios that it's meant for. So let's just start talking about it then. I mean, Phil, listen, just so everyone knows, Phil is, he was passionate last week. He's passionate again this week. I'm going to let him start. You okay with that, Dave?
Sure.
Let the man give us a little bit of, let's just say, what do you think about it, Phil?
I didn't think I was going first, so able to collect my thoughts here. I think the VAR, in principle, is a fantastic tool. We brought it up last week talking about Maradona. He scored the goal with his hand. Wouldn't have counted in today's age.
Unless you're Man City.
Unless you're Man City. Or Barcelona.
You did not just make that up.
Barcelona.
Yeah, there's no way you just made that up.
When I talked to my best friend from Spain, he's a Barca fan, I write it VAR. So
you've made that up in the past. I thought you made it up on the spot.
No, absolutely not.
Unbelievable. That was good.
I mean, I'm great. I think what frustrates me is before, if a ref made a mistake, part of you could always understand, listen, the game's going at 100 miles an hour. How is he going to see an offsides, a handball in between 18 players in the box, right? Now, the ref chooses to listen to people sitting in a little cubicle room who are looking at the plays, who sometimes choose to alert him, sometimes don't. I don't really know. I wish we could hear a lot of more of the conversations between ref and the VAR room.
Yes.
So then it leaves it up to, well, why is VAR being used for this play? Why is VAR not being used for this play? And I'm going to steal your thunder here, Dave. Bruno Fernandes' straight red card.
Yep.
How on earth do you have a room of people watching that play and making the choice that that red card should stand and ruining a game?
In slow motion, every angle, and they looked at it for how long?
And that, I think that's the most clear recent example of what VAR could be amazing for, because in live, that 100% looked like a red card. I was like, holy hell, he just lost his mind. You look at the replay, you're like, oh, that's not that bad. VAR helped the ref correct it because he saw it live. VAR steps in, it's not a red card, and that's the... That would be the positive outcome of VAR.
Yeah.
Now VAR doesn't step in for that play, and I'm sure Dave and many other people are left wondering, well, what the heck is VAR for? Why aren't they stepping in here, but then they step in other plays? So I think that just has increased the frustration of people, because it goes from, oh, human error, it's whatever, to, well, is there a reason why VAR didn't step in? How it's subjective.
The reason is still humans.
It's still humans.
Yeah.
But now just
which you can't avoid
more elevated frustration, because like, those humans are now seeing the replay at slow motion versus before it was just a human making a mistake at.
Yeah. Now there's the speed more. Of the game. There's more humans making the wrong call now, so instead of one.
That's what makes me so angry about it.
Yeah. I think its original, when it got introduced, correct me if I'm wrong, it was to prevent or fix clear and obvious errors.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that's like the correct application. Like I want the correct calls to be made. And I want, you know, the stuff that you see either right away live and you're like, oh, no way, that's wrong. Or you see the replay once and in 1 second you're like, oh, yeah, that was the wrong call. Like it's those situations, like just fix it real fast, get it done. Like, I feel like since, again, it's just dudes sitting in a room, you know, there's a lead official in the VAR room, right? Like, it's like a lot of times it feels like they're re-refereeing the game to me. Yeah. And I feel like they sit there and draw their lines or, you know, decide if someone's arm was far enough away from their body or whatever it is. Like, if you have to look at it for more than like 30 seconds and you don't know the answer, to me, that's re-refereeing the game, and that's not a clear and obvious error. And I know, like, sometimes that sucks, but, like, how long you sit there in goals sometimes and someone scores, and then...
Everything in slow motion looks worse.
Someone's shoelace flopped a little bit too far, and they're offsides by a centimeter.
Yeah.
And to me, that's not an error to me.
Right.
Like,
but here's the problem, right? So I think as younger people, right, when we were probably teenagers and a little younger, all we did, I know, I'll speak for myself, all I did was see these airs in every sport, football, as in NFL football, soccer, like basketball, all these errors these refs are making. We're like, why are we not using computers? We have them. And now we're using them, but it also now is more highlighted. So it's like, okay, it's too much, right? So there's like a fine line of, we need these computers to help, right? And I just want to throw a stat out there, right? And I said this at the start. There's no real answer here, right? Because the correct decision went from 93%. To now they're at 98.9, so essentially 99% correct. But it's that 1% now because we have this technology. And even when you miss 1%, everyone's going to say, what in the world? We can see it. How can you not see it? I don't know everyone out there if you ever watched the NFL, but there's no bigger sport, I think, that shows this discrepancy than the NFL, because it's such a bang-bang sport, and every single week we see these calls get missed, and I'm not trying to go off topic, but it's just, I'm just not sure where I sit with it, because, you know, Man City, right? We all saw the Man City one. To me, that's still 50-50.
Well, Man City.
What, the
Man City
Bernardo Silva?
No, the John Stones scored in extra time against Wolves this week.
Yeah, and they were deciding
they called it. Yeah, yeah. They
Silva was in right. front of the goalie.
So for me, that's like, okay, still kind of up to the ref's decision. So, you know, Man City gets hit, whatever. But then Chelsea, on the other hand, Nicholas Jackson scored a goal. They called it offsides. They went back and looked at it. It was onsides.
Right.
So that's where I wonder, like, okay, we see these big decisions that get missed and everyone focuses on it versus the 100 other decisions that happened that week that went right. So sometimes I feel like we hyper-focus on one bad decision.
Yeah, we do.
What? And I don't mean...
Not us, but like everyone.
I don't mean to put you on the spot and maybe please. We can do VAR 2.0 pod, but what is that criteria on in terms of right calls increased? Because, and I'll throw out an example. Vinicius, obviously in La Liga, he's not liked by a lot of defenders, and there's been a couple tackles on him that should have been straight red, and VAR didn't step in. Does that count as a missed call, like a stat that's being calculated for that, or not because VAR wasn't involved?
Yeah. So I can't give you the reasoning behind it. I know that stat that I just gave you came from the EPL. Right? That's okay. An EPL stat.
So that's an EPL stat.
It's an EPL stat, and even to your point, if it's a red card, no matter how many computers you have to look at it, it's still a human judgment. A computer can't tell you something's a red card or not, right? So if I walk up to Dave and I slide and my studs are half up, half down, that's still up to a human to say, regardless of how slow you make it, how many times you watch it, it's still a human that has to say, red, not red.
Right.
So point being is, like, when you say, like, what's the criteria? I mean, the criteria for whatever this, 99% correct, it's still humans deciding it. You know what I mean?
But that's versus, why there's like, a rule book.
Some of them are offsides. You know, some of them are like clear cut, that's offsides. Clear cut, that's a red card. It's the ones in between that, like, to your point, they say 99%. Well, who's telling you, who's deciding that 99% is correct if I think that that red card that you say is the correct call probably isn't the correct call? Like, yes, there's a rule book, but the rule book is still black and white in some places.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's like, there's been this transition, like when there was like a bad call before. And first of all, I think we may be some recency bias and we might misremember like just how many poor calls there were before, even though there still are.
Yep.
But I think before, when there was a bad call that affected the outcome of the game or led to a goal or something, it'd be like, all right, this sucks, but that's the way it goes. That's football. Now, like, the attitude is, okay, that was a bad call and affected the outcome of the game. We must have justice. Like, this must be corrected and compensated in some way. And so, like, I don't feel like we can ever go back at this point.
Wolves just did that. I think Wolves sent, I think they complained about that call with Man City. And let me be frank, I don't know You said you saw it?
No. Yeah. It wasn't offsides.
He wasn't in the goalie's line of sight.
He ducked and was
off to the side.
But a lot of people think it was the wrong call and that Man City gets those calls.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
before we talk, so
Sean's lifting his finger to us, telling us to shut the heck up.
Don't worry, we'll be on video soon enough. You can watch this finger get lifted. I demand a lot of respect in this room. So I was looking up, you know, it's frankly, just so everyone knows, I tried to do a lot of research on this. It is very, very difficult to find statistics on this. On, you know, like, you know, something I tried to find was how many, you know, year over year, how many VAR calls are correcting. Right? Like, so like 10 years ago, was it 4 calls and now it's 10, 20? You can't find these stats. They're very difficult to find. But something I found was the last EPL season, how many calls were overturned by VAR? It was 110. Right. And they did they did the work to figure out which teams benefited the most versus which teams didn't benefit the most. So the point I'm trying to make here is a lot of people will say, you know, oh, VAR, clearly they're using it to help Barcelona or Real Madrid or Man City, right? Whoever the team is that person doesn't like. Well, when you look at the EPL, who benefited the most? Number one was Fulham, +5, right? So that means of the calls that happened, they benefited 5 times.
Yeah.
Nottingham Forest, 5 times. This is the last season, 2023-2024. Number four, Aston Villa, +4. And then Man City was +4. So point being is they're not even in the top three.
The thing is, so I'm going to question you there question those stats for 1 second, because a team like Man City probably scored a lot of goals that were on clear offsides. It gets overturned and that's a stat that counts against them. But because they're such an offensive team, it's bound to happen. So
Stepped into my next point.
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
No, keep going.
No, I was just going to say, like,
call it out. Yeah.
Because I saw a similar thing with La Liga, and I was like, okay, well, we're saying VAR has helped, I'm going to use Madrid as an example, 10 times this season, or not helped Madrid 10 times this season, like, they're minus 10, and it's like clear offsides that are being ruled back. It's like, well, that's a valid use of the VAR, and it's not like against Madrid, it's just VAR applying, you know, going back and looking at the offsides.
Yeah, that's the thing is, like I said, it was very hard to find stats on this. And frankly, a lot of the stats or a lot of this is opinion based, right? Because to your point, Fulham +5. What's the underlying behind that? Like, just see a +5 means nothing. See a +4 means nothing. I need to understand, and you know, you could probably do that research. What is the +4? Were they all offsides calls? You know, who's the team? Were they getting more opportunities? Yeah. Like, all these things, like, you have to dig so deep. And then once you dig to that point, you have to use so many critical thinking skills to, like, really break down. Is it benefiting? Is it hurting? What's it doing? I feel like and I don't know if we'll ever get there, but it feels like we're still early on to really understand if it's doing well or not, outside of the visceral feeling that people have watching a wrong decision happen. I try and be level-headed about this.
Go for it, Dave.
I'm not level-headed.
That's fair. You don't have to be.
I just... It wouldn't bother me so much if they would get them right more often. Like,
but they get them right according to the EPL. 99% of the time they're correct. It's that 1%. That's according to EPL, for the record.
According to the EPL, so they
based
are they
on EPL calls.
Are they self-evaluating there?
I mean, essentially, I mean they're using the rules, but they are self-evaluating, and that's based on their calls. I didn't look up other.
I just one of my other issues is like a lot of people have mentioned is that it takes away from like the exciting instantaneous moments.
Yep.
And like it kind of takes some of the emotion out of the game, and I don't like that. And I have to feel like, I mean, I haven't been to a premier or any professional game since COVID happened. I have to imagine if you're at a live game and there's a VAR review going on, and you're definitely getting like way less clarity than if you're sitting at home watching on TV. Like, I'm I'm sure they show replays, right, on the like on the screens.
Maybe
do
they? Don't show them at NFL games. You don't get to see a lot of those replays.
But like, you have to be so confused. Like, if they're like reviewing a red card, like there's no, you're getting no clarity on what's going on.
Yeah,
you're really not getting any explanation. You're just seeing the ref make his decision after he does his review.
Yep.
And so like, that's where like when people say, oh, we need to hear the conversation, or we need to be given an explanation of some kind. Like I feel like that's an easy tweak to make.
I bet they show it. I don't feel like. Calls it out.
Wait.
Bet the ref says it and then they show the replay. And that's when the fans probably react. I don't know that for sure. I just got to assume.
But yeah, I have to imagine if you're at the game and there's a VAR review, it's even more frustrating than if you're watching
it
at home.
You remember, like, you see, like, on the screen, they'll do, like, VAR with, like, the purplish, bluish screen on the big screens.
Yeah.
You've seen that before?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So they show some replays. They're not allowed to show controversial ones.
Oh my gosh.
Oh wow. What a coincidence. Yeah, that's so weird.
But on the TV we can see it all, similar to a baseball game. They put a square in front of the umpire to tell us exactly what's a strike and a ball, but no one in the game can see that.
Don't get me started on that topic.
Maybe one day baseball, but not today.
This guy said, I once edited highlights for a West Ham Wolves game at the Olympic Stadium. The replay should have been shown, but the referee had made so many mistakes that the boss said we could not show it.
Oof. And that happens. But again, the refs get penalized for that. Refs get in trouble for that.
They do.
Allegedly.
I'm pretty sure they get paid per game. So a lot of times refs in Spain, we call it a la nevera. They get frozen, which like they don't ref games.
Is it that cold in Spain?
Yeah.
Wow.
They get Han Solo'd.
Wow. I guess that's frozen. Fair enough.
Yeah. Yep. Let it go.
I mean, that's pretty frozen.
Dave, I'm going back to your point, though. I want to touch on that. I want to see what Phil thinks. People call it basically they dehumanize the game, right?
Yeah.
So there's so much less unpredictability because everything that happens, we stop the game, we go check it out.
Yeah.
And there's two negatives to that. The first one is people think the refs might start losing some of that skill set to make these calls, because when you know you have a backup behind you to say, you missed this one, let's go check it out, the refs start to lose a little bit of that sharpness when it comes to these really bang-bang calls. And the second piece is, I'm forgetting what it was. I had it in my head, and now I'm forgetting it. Oh, it's because, you know, when you're in a highly contested game, things are happening, players are in form, they're looking good, stop the play. It could take anywhere from 1 to 10 minutes, we've seen. So now you're stopping a game, players are standing on the field, and then they get back in, they're not in the same form they were in potentially. Like, that's obviously, you know, whatever, maybe that is, maybe that isn't. But it just slows the game down. And on top of that, what happens? If you stop a game for VAR for 6 minutes, are you getting those 6 minutes in extra time?
Nope.
Not usually.
If you're not in a World Cup, you ain't getting it.
Yeah, unless it's a
2020.
That's
just another problem. Like, it's fine if you want to take 10 minutes to make a call if it's important. Add it on to the end of the game. It's just crazy to me that still they don't add on the appropriate extra time. It's a different conversation. But
I've never understood that. How hard is it to hire anyone with a sit there in the box with a stopwatch? That's your only job.
But not to go crazy on that, but remember, we saw that in the World
Cup. How
hard
is that? Yeah.
And frankly, seeing 16 extra minutes just shows that there's a bigger problem at hand. You shouldn't have 16 extra minutes to add on. So that just shows a different flaw in the game, but we don't want to go too far on that.
There was a study that was done for La Liga teams, and it was something like the specific one, Getafe, they defend. All they do is defend and waste time since minute one. They go for the 0-0 tie, or maybe they score and win. Don't quote me on the exact number, but it was playing time against them was like 38 minutes or something like that out of the 90.
It's just
the rest was, or maybe it was like 60 minutes and 30 wasted minutes, or it's something crazy. Where, to your guys' point, it's barely an hour of soccer, and the rest is wasted, and then the ref would add 2 or 3 minutes. But
that might be why they don't go that route right now, because they know if they start adding appropriate amounts of time, oh my goodness, people are gonna be like, wait a minute. Why did I just watch?
Players wouldn't waste time.
Players only care about that because they have to play so many games. So if we just stop creating nonsensical competitions, we wouldn't care as much and could have the proper amount of time. Hey, but anyway.
Hey,
I was going to say, Phil, you just said players would be less, you know, less inclined to slow the game down. A lot of people make that argument for VAR is with the introduction of VAR, a lot less, you know, there's a lot of players that are not diving, right? They're not taking these penalties behind the ref's back. They're not jumping it down the ref's throat because they know, hey, this guy's going to get a call in his ear and he's going to go check it out. We're not going to all jump down his throat. I mean, as an example, I don't know, Phil, I'm guessing you probably didn't watch it. Dave, you might have watched it. The U.S. men's national team game against Panama that they lost, where Timothy Weah, being dumb, well, maybe it was good. Some people think it's good because it got the coach fired.
Oh,
the
Copa America.
Oh, in Copa.
Yeah, yeah, I watched that.
Oh,
yeah.
I unfortunately watched that.
So
didn't they just play a friendly against them?
And they beat 2-0? Yeah, they should have beat them originally, but they had a red card early in the game because Timothy Weah went and smacked the guy in the back of the head, essentially punched him. Ref never saw it. And then Vieira said, hey, listen, you missed this one. Can you go look at it? Went and looked at it, immediately said, listen, red card, you're out.
Yeah.
He would have never seen that. Right. So that's the kind of things that players like, shoot, I can't just like smack someone when the ref's not looking because it's not going to work anymore.
And for me, first of all, there's some, I don't know. I'll say, oh, it would be cool if players can get away with that, but then it would happen to your team and you're like, what the hell?
It's BS, right?
Yeah.
My problem is that exact situation. Sometimes the refs get involved, sometimes they choose not to. And that's what infuriates me with the VAR is. Last weekend, I see a VAR call back one play. Next weekend, the exact same play, they don't. So then, that to me, that's the problem with the VAR. And I'm left sitting there guessing, well, why the heck did they not?
Feels like the people, it feels like every game is a different set of VAR rules in terms of the people watching.
Well, yeah, it's a different guy.
It's a different guy.
It's a different guy that's the VAR ref for that, for that game.
I disagree with that.
That's my only problem with it. I've seen it way too many times, and there's never an explanation, and I get that refs can't just come out and explain every single decision, but I think there should be a level of transparency that would at least help fans and probably players realize kind of why certain decisions are made, and it could help shape our view on stuff. And the one point I'll add, I don't know if you guys saw the ref in the French league. He wore a microphone, and it recorded all his interactions with players. And it was awesome.
I would love to hear that.
It was awesome listening to him talk to players. Like a player would complain about a foul and he'd be like, hey, 2 minutes ago you kind of shoved him too. I'm letting you guys play. I'm letting you be physical. I'm controlling like the level of physicality.
That's great.
That was the same thing. And the guy was like, you know what? Fair. And it was like that the entire game. And I think those conversations for us hearing them and the players hearing that from refs would kind of adjust our view on outcomes.
Transparency is good.
Yeah, transparency.
Dave, can you tell me, I thought there was an American sport where we could hear the ref's conversation with VAR. Is it hockey? Or the replay,
it's
I should
basketball.
Say. Is it basketball?
You can hear
there
it. I think it's the NBA.
It.
Yeah, it's the NBA. You can
and
hear it.
And it is amazing to hear the ref's conversation with the replay people because it just opens the door to say, okay, they got that call wrong. I heard them talk. They're just missing it.
Yeah.
And I don't agree with them being wrong, but now I know they missed it, and I can understand that they just didn't see it. What say you, Dave?
No, the NBA gets a lot of things like that right, and they nailed that one. It would be funny to see that in the NHL because I have a feeling those refs would just sound like morons like over half the time. But yeah, like why if they go over like if he goes over to the screen, let's say. Like that would be an easy one. Like, all right, why is he running over to the screen? What's he doing in there? I never know what he's doing.
I never know what he's doing.
Like, why can't we hear what they're saying in his ear, what he's saying? Like it's gonna be a pretty focused on topic right in front of him. It's not gonna be a lot of dialogue because they're usually not over there for more than like a minute. I don't know. There's a couple easy tweaks I think they can make with where VAR is now, and that's one of them. Even though I would like to see it applied less often, like I would like to see it only get involved for clear and obvious errors, but I think we're past the point of no return with that.
Nope.
Yeah,
it's every sport. Yeah, I'm also tired of the excuse of we can't put the refs like in the harm, not harm, but we can't put the refs like let the fans, you know, be mad at them, right? There's an excuse like, oh, we can't let the refs all their conversations be out because then fans will be mad.
You're really protecting them from that anger. Yeah, now.
I just looked up EPL referee salary, ridiculous range. This is crazy, but 70,000 to 200,000
per game or per year?
Per game. It's, 1,000 per match on top of a salary. So the salary is 70 to 200,000. And then every match you get 1,000. So that's like a yearly salary, it appears. That's for a Premier League ref.
A lot of those refs also, the top refs do Champions League.
That's what I'm saying.
So you probably have to add on.
Point being is, I don't care if
they're well compensated.
I don't care if you're afraid of the fans' reaction or... You know, listen, you're putting yourself in the public like any other human who is famous or puts himself in the public. You're going to deal with a bunch of crazy people, right? Yeah. I get that, and I can be empathetic to the fact that you're going to have those people tweeting at you or, you know, sending you messages. Listen, you're making a lot of money. We need to hear the conversation.
Yeah.
I need to hear the conversation. It's not that complicated. There's no more excuse for me why you are protecting those conversations. And I haven't heard a good one. Have you heard a good, anyone here heard a good excuse of why they won't let us hear the conversation?
Because then they'll find out the refs are helping Barca, and then, oh my gosh, Messi loses so many trophies.
Yeah. Phil, could you talk about, you just sent, who was it, me and?
Oh, yeah.
Myself and our friend, Zach.
So I know sent this to VRs, us. And Dave, then I'll pass it to you. I saw you open your mouth, and I interrupted you, sorry.
His mouth is always open.
That might not be... Save for this podcast.
Because he's talking.
He means I talk a lot.
You made it weird.
In the World Cup.
And I have bad sinuses. I can't breathe through my nose.
he's what we call a mouth breather.
A mouth breather, okay. Argentina against the Netherlands. Messi on a yellow. Ake passes the ball. Kind of clearance, passes it at Messi just out of reaction, but stupid. Lifts his hand up and just basically swats it down. That is the most standard, clearest yellow card that I've seen in 26 or 5 years of watching and understanding soccer.
Very clear.
And I get that the VAR can't get involved in yellow cards, but the ref was that right there. Should have been a second yellow, red card. Does Argentina win the World Cup?
But the question becomes...
That falls under the category of clear and obvious error.
Yeah.
That's the thing. The question becomes like... Yeah, I know we're not. They're not meant to be involved in yellow cards. I get why that gets super messy. That's just 2 weeks in a row with the messy man.
Neither of them were intentional.
Ba-da-ba. So the yellow cards gets a little haywire. I'll use a better word there.
Nice.
And I don't know. You missed that call. And to your point, Phil, who knows what happens? But there's a clear and obvious yellow card to a red card. They don't touch it because it does get too crazy if you include VAR and yellow cards.
And because he already has a yellow card. If he doesn't have a yellow card, he's getting one.
Well, maybe that should be the rule.
Instantly.
If you're on a yellow card and another yellow card is in question, then you should probably include that. Because the question is straight red cards. Well, why is a second yellow not fall under that category? Actually, now I'm thinking about it.
Well, you just introduce more opportunities for error in the VAR process because now we're going to be reviewing, you know, how much did he tug his shirt and prevent this break?
Let's put it in slow motion and we see that an inch of his boot rubbed against his shirt.
How, like, was it late or was it mistimed?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Justin Trudeau.
So, let's just wrap this up because we could go on forever. VAR.
Yeah.
Yay, nay, or hey. And a hey with a shrug is right in the middle.
You can't see us on video, but I'm going to say hey.
I'm going to say hey, lean towards nay.
I'm a definite nay.
Wow, I didn't expect
I'm
that.
I'm out.
Dave He's is out. Fully out.
Fully out.
He wants fully that free time back when there wasn't VAR to see how
Dave just wants me and you to start smoking people behind the ref's head. Just start punching people in the back of the head.
Look,
so no one
we have Lissandra Martinez on our team, so we might need that.
Listen, back in early 2000s, I saw maybe it was early 2000s or late 2000s. I saw that would be close to 3,000, but in the first decade of the 2000s, I saw Pepe foul Juanfran on Osasuna, who later played for Atletico Madrid, fun fact, missed a PK against Madrid in the Champions League for Madrid to win the Champions League. Kind of full circle there. But fouled him twice in the box. Juanfran got a yellow for diving on both fouls. Got a red card. And this was pre-VAR. It should have been two PKs for Osasuna against Madrid. And the ref called two diving yellow cards against the player. So,
I mean that just happened because Pepe is involved.
True.
And that's just classic Pepe.
Basically, what I'm trying to say is as a Madrid fan, I know there's been calls for Madrid, but Barca got a lot more.
And can I also make a side point real quick? We'll get done with this, but I just want to say, Dave, you know, we always burn you on Man U, and I think there's another opportunity to do it.
What, we won.
You did win.
We actually played pretty well.
Maybe this is an opportunity to burn, but have you seen how your ex-goalie is playing?
Who, Dean Henderson?
De Gea. This man is on fire.
Yeah, he's
in Serie A.
De Gea.
Yeah, he's still good.
He's amazing.
Should never let him go.
Okay, and that's where I was trying to get at.
Onana has played pretty well this year.
I'm not discrediting Onana at all. I'm just saying De Gea, he had a bad run. They got rid of him.
Listen, he made some big errors at the end of last season.
Is
but,
Manchester United the Cleveland Browns?
All right.
Is calm. Man U the Cleveland Browns of soccer?
You need to calm down
because
Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns have never won anything, and Man United has won a lot of things.
Hey, Phil, you need to calm down.
No, you need to.
You're being too.
I think you owe me an apology for that.
Yeah, I know. I was being hyperbolic there. I was just joking. But that's, no, I just wanted
him. Tottenham might be the Cleveland Browns.
I was being extreme, but I did want to call out that De Gea is really killing it, and that wasn't meant to be an insult.
I love
you.
David De Gea.
Really, yeah, so do I. And that was really meant to be a hey, look at a guy who used to play for Man U that's doing really well. It's a good thing, I think.
You got a lot of unfair criticism. Incredible shot stopper.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't pass him the ball, but he can stop shots with the best.
He can.
Stop. All right. Coolio. Good conversation, guys. I think that was just the right amount. Everyone out there listening, hey, make your own opinions. Take some of ours with you. And again, please tell us what you think. Leave a comment on the video. It's free.
That was a VAR-y.
And if you really love VAR, if you're out there, all like four of you that love VAR, tell us. Tell us why we're dumb for not really liking
it. Listen, we'll recap it next week.
And never listen to us again.
Also. Yeah.
Or that.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Subscribe to the videos. That's free. Like the video. Turns out that's also free. And if you leave a comment, you wouldn't believe it. Still free. And the comments, if we get one, we will be all over that thing next week. We'll be talking about that. You'll be our first ever comment. Leave it.
If they leave a comment, they enter.
Please inform us what they enter.
What's the word in English?
A contest?
A contest.
A raffle.
And a prize.
What's the prize?
To see our faces
news.
On video.
This is news to Dave and I,
to
by the way.
To see our faces on video.
Oh, okay, good.
So they just have to come back next week.
Oh, okay. Wins. I love that for them.
I was really interested to hear what he was going to say.
I thought he was going
to
have a good prize, but that's
I'm full of surprises. All
right, so yeah. On a serious note, as you're listening to this, hey, leave a comment on the video. We'd love to hear from you. We will absolutely respond very quickly, to be frank. We're ready for a good comment. Leave a like. It's free.
Watch us.
Leave a subscribe. Don't leave a subscribe, but subscribe. It's free. And if you want, reach out to us on our official Gmail account, which is firesidefpl@gmail.com. We check that on a weekly basis. We will respond to you if you have any comments, concerns. You want to just talk. You want to make fun of us. We don't really care. We're interested in talking to anyone out there who's listening. So let us know. And with that, we are going to hop on over to our most fun section. Phil?
Oh, yeah.
Question Queen. Love that. This week, the question comes from Olivia, which is Dave's wife.
So not David, Olivia Rodrigo.
No, better than Olivia Rodrigo, to be
much
frank.
Much better. She's very nice.
Very nice. She's a nice lady. We like her here.
Yeah.
Hopefully she listens to this.
We're big fans.
Hi, Liv. Listen to us and don't get the ick.
Hopefully she suffers through that VAR conversation to get to this section.
Yeah. Liv, just listen, but just don't get the ick. We still like you.
What minute does she need to skip to?
Give us the question. What'd you say?
What minute does she need to skip to?
That's a joke from last episode. Yeah. Funny.
Sean, I believe you have it. I don't know what it is.
No, Jess had the question this week.
Sean has the question. It is from Liv, though.
Oh, no. That was my wife's turn. That was Megan has a question.
We are in shambles.
Wow.
Sorry.
Wow, I'm over here blaming
Too
Sean.
Too many episodes. let me just pull my
question. Oh, I remember the question. No,
it's from my wife, so I'm reading it.
Okay, fine.
What athlete of any athletes across the globe would make the best goalie in soccer?
Current non-soccer players?
Yes, current non-soccer players, athletes outside of soccer, active, not dead.
All right.
Or just
we're going to answer this question, but we just want to be honest with everyone out there. We don't want to start this podcast off with lying. We forgot to do our question queen, so we just came up with a question on the spot, and we're going to answer it as well.
I also forgot what it was momentarily.
That's fine. We just came up with a question on the spot. Phil did, and now we're going to answer it.
But the good part of that is
you got to let the people know.
It gave me some time to think about this.
Yeah, it's perfect.
I think I know.
Listen, if you want to be reactive, this is it. We are reacting on the spot.
You two make me mad.
I think I know who
I want, though.
I know who I want, and I have the winner.
Phil, I don't know.
Well, I want you to go, because I got no one.
I'm going last.
Dave, you got to go.
All right, well, in goal, I want Victor Wembanyama.
Terrible.
He's 100 feet tall.
Yeah.
He's super athletic.
Just shoot on the ground and there's no way he gets
down. Dude, he has like 10 foot long legs. Yeah. He'll just stick his leg out, poke it to the corner. And you're just jealous that you're never going to score. You think David De Gea is a good shot stopper. Wait till you see Wemby.
I don't love that one, dude.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Only because he is so tall.
You guys are annoying.
The time to him for him to get to the ground.
Yeah. He doesn't need to get to the ground.
Yes, what do you mean?
Just stick his leg out.
Nah.
He's 8 feet tall.
Dude. The net, how far is net across? It's 8 feet tall. How far is it across? 12?
Who the heck knows?
Honestly, 14? I don't know.
Yeah, okay. It's far.
He's not built to get down so
fast.
That was
embarrassing, Dave. That's terrible. We still love you.
Wow. That was so uncalled for.
No, you go.
I'm still not ready.
Yeah, you're not going to Google. I'm putting you on the spot.
Oh, fine. All right, I'm stuck between two people right now.
Spit them out. We'll help you through this.
I'm putting your mic by the keyboard.
No, I need to type something. I need to type something real quick.
Hey, Siri, who would make a good soccer goalie?
Oh, Victor Wembanyama. He's 8 feet tall.
Turns out.
If you want a bad soccer
GPT
goalie.
Said,
who did you really use ChatGPT?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just looking up names.
NHL goalies?
I was, but that's not what I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with my original thought, and the problem is it's a little biased, so you guys are going to rip me for it, but I'm going with TJ Watt as my soccer goalie. The man is fast. The man has twitch muscles. The man can react to anything. No one knows who TJ Watt is. Okay, who do you want me to go with then?
Are you kidding me?
What's the problem with TJ Watt? Give me the reason that this is not a good pick.
Yeah, I mean, he'd be great, you know, if he's coming out to punch away a corner. Like, he's just going to knock people over. But
he's a football player. He's good with his hands.
How's he going to have more shot-stopping range than who I said?
Because he is quicker than who you said.
Are you
by a million miles.
Are you out of your mind?
We should have just picked a hockey goalie. That would have been the answer.
No.
Yes. No.
All right, no. Phil. Okay, wait a minute. Phil's been insulting us the whole time without giving us an answer. Please,
I'm proud about
Phil.
This one, and
please.
No one's going to know his name. So
LeBron James.
No.
LeBron.
His name is Mr. Alexander Albon.
I know who Alex Albon is. He's an F1 driver.
He is the amongst.
Because he has good reactions, huh?
Great reaction times. We all know the
test.
Who
else has good reaction times? TJ Watt.
Okay, and he weighs 299 million pounds. We're talking about a Formula One driver who has the best reactions of any athlete in the world.
Hamilton's
better. He is 6'1". Hamilton's 5'9", so I'm going for the taller F1 driver.
Should have picked George Russell.
What?
Should have picked George Russell.
He's lower.
This man thought he was so smart.
He's shorter.
There's no way.
He's so smart.
Yeah.
So you're saying an F1 driver you think is better than an NHL goalie?
George Russell is also 6'1".
All right, fine. But anyway.
I'm disgusted.
Anyway.
So, a Formula driver that's 6'1", from London, likes soccer.
Okay, so that matters.
Has a reaction time, has a height, has a weight. He's not slow coming out. Imagine playing a through ball and seeing J.J. Watt trying to run 30 yards.
You ever seen J.J. Watt run?
Dude, TJ.
Have you ever seen
TJ Watt?
You ever seen TJ Watt run? You have, right?
Yes.
On the football field. You ever seen your guy run?
Yeah, I've seen them
Where?
Run around the track.
Yeah, you've never seen him. So that's my point. How fast is your guy?
I'm talking about the perfect.
You ever seen Wembanyama run?
Yes. Yeah. Up and down a basketball court.
So we've seen our guys run. Phil, how fast is your guy run?
Extremely fast. He's a Formula One driver. They're the fastest athletes on the world.
Yeah, they run pretty fast too.
Listen,
huh?
We're talking about a guy that has the best reaction times, that is the perfect height for a soccer goalie, the perfect weight, and is from London.
No idea if he has any athletic ability outside of his reaction time. No idea.
What else do you need?
You're a goalie. You need
quite
more
a few
reaction
other things.
I can react as fast as I want if I can't stretch to a corner.
That's poor. Have you guys seen their ball thing where they have to like zip around and touch the lights?
That's standing in the middle and putting their hands out. Try reaching down to the corner
they
of a goal.
They touch the light on the bottom corner.
I don't know if he has like the explosiveness to like move side to side quickly.
Your guy's an athlete in a different way than a soccer player. That's a different type of athlete.
Oh, no. Let's put TJ Watt in the net.
You know what? I wish that we actually did genuinely forget this question, because I'm now questioning like both of your brains.
Listen, I think all three of us can.
And their just overall health.
I mean, I have the best athlete on this list, so what? I'll take the win. That's fine.
I actually don't know if you guys know who Victor Wembanyama is.
I heard of him once. What does he play?
Hockey. He's a goalie.
Oh,
he's actually in net for the Flyers tonight.
Oof. Yeah. Okay, he's not very good.
Actually, that's bad because
they're
getting smoked right now.
Flyers.
I'm sure they think so.
I just don't know how you guys can look me in the eye and tell me that an NFL defensive end and a Formula One driver would be better equipped athletically to stop a ball than someone that's 7'8" or whatever he is.
The biggest problem.
And super athletic.
The biggest problem we're going to have
and explosive.
Is anyone listening is going to know his guy's name before our guy's name? I think we're going to lose this one.
I just think
because both of your answers were insane.
I'm over this.
I'm going to change my answer. My answer is LeBron James. Phil, what's your answer? Oh, LeBron James as well?
Oh, my God.
Okay, good.
No, LeBron James is awful.
Your answer was so bad you changed it.
All right, so my guy wins because I just Googled who's the best goalie in the world outside of soccer players, and they said any Formula One driver. Pick the tallest one.
Who's they?
What?
ChatGPT.
Other Formula One drivers.
Phil the answer. All right.
That was an awful question, Quinn. Oh, we're going to lose so many listeners.
Listen, edit
this out, Sean.
Every episode can't be perfect. We're still learning.
We're sorry.
The question queen, we messed it up this week. But hey, we still gave you some content. To be honest, it was kind of funny because we all stunk at that.
Now you know which 2/3 of the podcast are idiots.
What's interesting, though, is we never know the question beforehand regardless, and we never do that poorly.
Oh, no. I didn't do poorly.
David,
Victor
Wembanyama
is never going to do anything in net.
Can you stop?
No.
My guy's the only guy that makes sense.
I just don't even have the energy for this conversation.
Let's end it.
A lot of shenanigans.
See ya.
This week.
Too many.
See ya.
See ya.
Nope. Not yet. All right, everyone. Well, that was a good episode, correct? Everyone?
See ya.
Hey, no. We gotta leave on a nice little outro. All right. So everyone out there listening.
Again.
I'm doing it again. Listen, we got to get people to comment. We need these views. We need these comments. Listen, I'm a shill. Listen, I'm not embarrassed. I want the comments. I want the views. I want the likes. And I want
this
the subs.
We're going to get so many comments because people probably hate us after this ending.
Good. I hate myself.
Should. Any press is good press.
All right. All jokes aside, we are out of here. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to that. We'll be back next week. Same time, same place with our pod episode. Look out for our FPL episode. We'll be uploaded Wednesday. Looking back at week 8. Looking forward to week 9. I guess we're already past that. So, well, it is what it is. And with that,
see ya.
Bye.
Wait a minute. And with that, see ya.
See ya.
Bye.